ज्ञानान्तिमिरण्डस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीजुतपदकमलां श्रीगुरों वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् सद्वैतं सद्वधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे विषभानुसुते देवे प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे Yes, I'd like to thank Devaki Nandan Prabhu. Very nice explanation about Lord Balaram. A little bit of tattva and the pastimes of Denukasura and Pralambasura. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these different demons that Krishna killed in Vrindavan represents our anarthas. I'm sure you don't have any more anarthas, right? Anarthas means it is the things which in our hearts that meant not to be there. Anartha means unnecessary. Like lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, and so on. So Krishna and Balaram, they would be pasturing the calves and the cows every day. He started around after 5 years old, the first time that he went pasturing the calves, the small one first. And then later on, at the age of six, he started to go out with the big cows. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men, they thought that he's grown up enough to take care of the 900,000 cows of Nanda Maharaj. And so every day they will be going for pasturing the cows and calves and the bulls and the oxen in the grounds, green grasses of Braj Vrindavan. And it says that before tiffin time, there will be at least two or three demons killed by Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna, he did this from the age of 6, let's say 6 till 11. So that's about 5 years. So every day, 2 or 3 times 365, minimum at least 11,000, 12,000 demons were killed. But in the Krishna book or the Srimad Bhagavatam, we only heard about 20 demons. Because if all of their demons that were killed by Krishna and Balaram is going to be included in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then definitely it'll be so voluminous. Most of the part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the heavenly planets. So maybe by chance you go up in Swargaloka, you'll be able to hear that pastimes of Krishna and Balaram killing those other demons. And so, yes, it says that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. And as Devakinanda Prabhu was saying, that the first expansion is Balaram. Balaram. There is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. It says the only difference is the color. Krishna is blackish blue, like that of a rain cloud. And Balaram is that of crystal white. So one time in 1976, Kumbh Mela, Srila Prabhupada was there in Allahabad. And there were two devotees, they were arguing with each other. Madhudwis Prabhu and Yamuna Mataji. So Madhudwis Prabhu says, no, there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. Only the personal feature is difference, the difference between the two of them. But then Mother Yamuna says, no, there is more difference, because Krishna, he's the only one who can be having relationship with Radharani. So they were arguing about this difference. And it reached Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because he was the regional secretary for India. Because they're arguing, keep on arguing. And then Tamal Krishna says, let's go to Srila Prabhupada. And then he told Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, yes, Madhudwis Prabhu says that there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram, only the color, personal feature. And Prabhupada says, yes, he is right. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, but then Yamuna Mataji says that there is also difference between Krishna and Balaram, that Krishna is, he's the only one who has a special relationship with Radharani. And Prabhupada says, yes, that is right also. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj cannot figure this out, which one is right. So he asked Prabhupada, both cannot be right, which is right? And Prabhupada says, yes, you are right. And then, what to do? Which one is correct? Which one is right? And Prabhupada says, you decide. See, this is the nature of the absolute inconceivable. We're not able to grasp with our puny, little, tiny mind about the nature of the unlimited, because we are limited. We are Anu, Krishna is Bibhu. And Krishna, to further enjoy. He's already self-satisfied, but still he wants to enjoy. Another inconceivable thing. He's already complete, he's already perfect, and still he wants to become more perfect, that he wants to enjoy, and then he expanded himself. So the first expansion, prakash, of the Supreme Lord, we are mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are parts and parcels. We're not as close. We're like kind of like distant. But the first expansion of the Supreme Lord is Balaram, Baladev. Balaram means spiritual strength. Bala, strength. And Rama means one who possesses happiness, unlimited happiness. Prabhupada mentions one time that intelligence or spiritual strength means intelligence. There is a difference between material intelligence and spiritual intelligence, or spiritual strength and material strength. Sometimes we see visitors coming to the Holy Dham. They're big, big in feature, personal feature, then they'll get sick immediately. But then we see some brahmacharis, kind of skinny, but they have so much spiritual strength and energy that they can do so much service for the whole day. So it says that if we want to succeed in devotional service, then we should pray to Lord Balaram. Without Lord Balaram's mercy and blessings, we will not succeed in our pursuit of going back home, back to Godhead. Brajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Suta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. So same Brajendra Nandan, Krishna, who came 5,000 years ago, and according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter of the 1st canto, they are the 18th and 19th incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Even though they're the Supreme Lord themselves, Krishna and Balaram, but Vyasadeva considered them as, he lists them as the 18th and 19th incarnations. It says that there are 20 incarnations. Again, incarnations are unlimited. Just like the waves in the river or in the ocean, you cannot count them. But because they took birth as like human beings, then they were listed. There is a similarity. Because when Krishna comes as avatar in the material world, sometimes he comes directly from Vaikuntha. He doesn't have to take birth. Can you give any examples? How about the Gurukul is here? Some Gurukul is here? Give an example of the Supreme Lord who didn't take birth. He just came immediately. Yes. Narsinghadev. Yes. Who else? Yes. Who? Baraha came from the nostril of Brahma. That means that he has an origin. Oh, give me one more. Who? Who? Matsya, yes. As there are many incarnations, there are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord, so it says that as there are many species of life, Krishna came in those forms. And how many species of life there are? 8,400,000 species. So Krishna also, he expanded himself into as many different species of life in that way. So Krishna and Balaram came again The same Balaram, Rohini Nandan, as we've heard, he has many, many names. Rohini Nandan, dear to Rohini Devi. He came also 500 years ago as Lord Nityananda. Jai Nithai! Lord Nityananda. There is no difference. Balaram, he is, as we've heard earlier, actually it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur who gave that description of Lord Balaram as the Supreme Personality, Servitor, Godhead. This came from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So Krishna as Balaram, or Balaram as Krishna, he came to assist the Supreme Lord in his pastimes. And in the mood of a servant, even though he is elder brother, Doji in Braj means elder brother, he came as a servant. But in one of the purports, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that sometimes he comes as younger brother and sometimes as elder brother. It's like in the pastimes of Ramachandra during Treta Yuga. Ram is accompanied by his eternal brother. They're two brothers. They're always together. They're not separated at all. So Lakshman was there. And as we've heard in the story, when Ramachandra went to the forest, he was put into the exile. Sita Devi came along with Lord Ramachandra. And Lakshman also, he does not want to be separated from Lord Ramachandra, that he came along also. So now, because he's serving Lord Ramachandra 24 hours, not a single moment that Lakshman will not be not seeing Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra, that Sita Devi was complaining. Because as husband and wife, they need their own special time also, right? They need their special moment. And Lakshman is always there. So Sita Devi was a little bit upset. Why don't you go away for some time? Give us some special time with my husband. We want to be alone for a few moments. But then Lakshman says, no. Mm-mm. No way. I have to be with my brother, elder brother, all the time. It's not possible. But there was one time when Ram says, because he went out and he asked Lakshman to be with Sita, that he told Lakshman that don't leave her alone. Don't leave her alone. And so there was this demon called Marichi. Marichi impersonate Lord Ram, that Lord Ram is in trouble. And so Sita Devi says, why don't you go? Why don't you go and help Ram? And Lakshman says, no, I will not do that, because he told me to be with you. But then Sita says, oh yes, I know why you're here. You want to enjoy me. You are pretending that you are protecting me, but actually you wanted to enjoy me. So you should go, because Ram is in trouble. But Lakshman knew that Ram cannot be in trouble. He is the Supreme Lord. But then eventually Lakshman went to try to rescue Ram, but actually Ram is not in danger. And then Ram chastised Lakshman, why did you leave her alone? And that was the time when Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi. So he was saying, you were the cause why Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. So he was really feeling very sorry, Lakshman, that he was the cause. And then later on, when Sita Devi was banished by Lord Ram, it was Lakshman, because whatever Ram instruct Lakshman will do, because this is his service. This is service mood, service attitude, that you drive in the chariot Sita Devi and bring her to Valmiki's ashram. So Lakshman was so feeling very sorry. I cannot do this. I don't want to be the cause of your breakup. But he cannot do anything. He has to follow his elder brother, Ram. And then he went to Valmiki's ashram and left Sita Devi there. So Lakshman, he concluded that I will take a vow that I will not be any more your younger brother anymore. That in the future, I will be always your brother, but I have to be elder than you. So in this way, that's why in Dwapara Yuga, Dauji, elder brother of Krishna, as Devakinandan Prabhu also mentioned, that he serves Krishna in 5 rasas. In santaras or neutrality, Balaram expanded as Vrindavan. Vrindavan. Just like where we are right now, this Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, is none different than the Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan means where there are many tulsis, surabhi cows, kalpabiksha trees. And it says in the sastras that there is no difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Boma Vrindavan. So why is it that we don't see these kalpabiksha trees, or we don't see these surabhi cows? We'll see a lot of tulsis. Now we see high rise buildings. Seems to be very polluted. Seems to be when you go to Loy Bazaar, there's a certain place that you're going to be like, you want to hold your nose because it's, the smell is kind of foul. Yamuna, there's no more Yamuna there. Maybe one drop. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was once asked by one of his disciples, How is it that, yes, it says that Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, none different than the Boma Vrindavan, but how come we see like this? So many Monkeys, of course, the monkeys 5,000 years ago is not the same as monkeys today, that they will steal your chasma, or very naughty. So why is that? Why is very different? And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that for those who are pure in their hearts, they can still see real Vrindavan now. And for those who comes here for different reason, except to cultivate their bhakti, to make progress in devotional service, then they will become bewildered. Those who come here for some material desires, then they will not see Vrindavan as it is. They will see Vrindavan as dirty and polluted and so on. This is to distract them. Because in Vrindavan, there is a thin film of energy that makes us not be able to see the real Vrindavan. That is Yogamaya. Yogamaya is the predominating energy in Vrindavan that we're not able to see real Vrindavan. So, Krishna has many cowherd boyfriends, and Balaram also is one of them. As in Sakyaras, he was able to play with him, and sometimes Balaram would carry Krishna, or Krishna will carry Balaram, vice versa. And in Vatsalya, Vatsalya means, Vat means cow or calf or a small child. So Vatsalya means to take care of a calf or to take care of a young child. So in that mood, Vatsalya means paternal parents. And Balaram is always there. Always, he knows that he is a Supreme Lord, but still in the mood of servant, he wants to serve Krishna. And the paternal mood, he will always want to protect him, and he will say sometimes, "We should go now." It's like in the we've heard there is an Astakaliya Lila, that 8 different segments of the whole day, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord is divided. So sometimes, because the cowherd boys, they will be just enjoying their playing and being with each other, that they don't want to go home. And in the Astakaliya Lila, there's 8 different pastimes, segments of the Lord's pastimes. It's like it starts in one point and it finishes at one point. But sometimes, because Krishna wants to enjoy more and Balaram more, it will go extended, that Balaram will say, "No, we should go home now," but Krishna says no, but then he will be obliged as well and he will go home. Dasya, of course, is there to always serve. Sometimes you would see Balaram massaging Krishna's lotus feet. You've seen that picture? And sometimes Krishna will massage Balaram's lotus feet because of being tired. And then in Madhurya Ras, Krishna, he has this special relationship with the gopis. He has his own set of gopis. Balaram also has his own set of gopis. But he expanded himself as a younger sister of Radharani, Ananga Manjari, who is the constant companion also of Srimati Radharani. And Ananga Manjari, she arranged the rendezvous pastimes of Krishna and Radharani. So, in these 5 rasas, Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Lord Balaram served or has relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this Krishna Balaram Mandir is established by Srila Prabhupada, and we have Krishna Balaram in the center, which means that our main deities here is Krishna Balaram. In our travels all over the world, sometimes they have Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra in the middle. That is in Berkeley Temple, New Jagannath Puri. They have Gornitai, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and then Radha Krishna, or yes, right in the farthest end. Sometimes Gornitai is the main deities. It's like in Atlanta Temple, New Panihati Dam. Gornitai is the center. They have Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Gornitai, and then Radha Madan Mohan. So Prabhupada says, we establish Krishna Balaram Mandir and worship Krishna Balaram to announce or tell the whole world that there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram and Gaura and Nitai. And Gaura and Nitai, there is no difference. And Prabhupada says that Balaram is a great example for us to follow. We're all sadhakas. We're not devotees yet. At least I'm speaking for myself. We're just trying to become devotees, because being a devotee is very rare in this world. Bhakta, Bhagavan, and Bhakti are very rare in this world. To find a pure devotee is very rare. For Bhagavan to come, or the Supreme Lord to come to the material world, is very rare also, only once in one day of Lord Brahma. And to find a person who performs pure devotional service, that means no material desire, no self-interest, no personal motivation, that is very rare. Right now, we're just trying to become devotees, and due to our many, many material desires, we're not able to see or understand the real nature of the absolute truth. In that demon that Balaram killed, Denukasura, we were in Toronto, and they are in the, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the killing of Denukasura. Denukasura represents the demon that is the anarthas which all of us have one time or another, meaning being possessive. Like Denukasura is very possessive of the tala fruit. This is mine, I, me, mine. This is my family, this is my house, this is my property. I'm sure some of you are maybe on that level yet and try to get rid of that. So it is very good to read that part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it says that if you read these different chapters that tells the stories of these different demons that Krishna and Balaram killed, then they will be uprooted to the core of your heart, from the core of your heart. But the demons that Balaram killed, we have to do extra endeavor. The demons that Krishna killed, we don't have to do so much endeavor. Krishna will help us to uproot them. But these demons of possessiveness, being intoxicated with material desires, position, we have to endeavor also ourselves. Palambasura exemplifies the demon of being lusty. And this is the cause why we're still here in the material world. The reason why we're still here is because of this trying to enjoy the material energy, which culminates in sex desire. So Balaram will help us, but we have to do extra endeavor. So Balaram says that we should follow in his footsteps, how to be humble servant, how to be fearless and faithful. Humble means not meaning that you go in a corner and don't speak, try to be quiet. You always go like this all the time. That's not really humility. Humble means being bold, coming in the front and tell the truth. You cannot preach if you're not humble. If you are humble and you said, oh, I don't want to, no, I just go in the corner and sit down and just be like this all the time, you cannot preach, right? So humility, humble means you go boldly and explain what is the truth. Balaram is like this. That's why in some parts of the history, the narrations that we've heard from the sastras, Balaram is like he didn't go in the war, side with Krishna and the Pandavas. He sided with Duryodhan. Instead of going into the fight and protect Duryodhan, of course, he went on pilgrimage. He went on pilgrimage. He did not say, well, I will protect Duryodhan. No. He went. Balaram wasn't afraid to express his devotion to Krishna. Yes. We should not be afraid to express our devotion to Krishna. Just like also says that we should not be shy to express our devotion to our spiritual master. Balaram is the Adiguru. Lord Nityananda is the Adiguru. His main desire and aspiration is to help the conditioned souls to go back home, back to Godhead. And he will do anything and everything to fulfill this. Just like in the pastimes of Jagai and Madai. Lord Nityananda, he wanted to be sure that these two personalities, Jagai and Madai, will be saved by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that Chandragupta, who is the one who keeps all the records of all the sinful conditioned souls in the material world, he has a big group of one who makes the tally of Jagai and Madai's sin, and they cannot keep up with the sins of Jagai and Madai, the one that they commit. He says that Jagai and Madai will read the Manu Samhita and they will read all the sins that's recorded there that can be committed in human platform. And they try to say, we didn't do this yet. Let's do this one. They kill brahmanas. They eat their flesh. They rape women. They burn houses. Everything that you can think of. And Lord Nityananda says they are the best candidate. And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagge and Madai will not go and surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Nityananda says, let me make a plan that Lord Chaitanya will come to see them, because they will not go to see Lord Chaitanya. So let me ask with his partner Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur was afraid. He says, no, we should not go. This is impossible. We can get killed by these two personalities. But then Lord Nityananda says, don't worry. So he begged Jagai and Madai to please accept this process of chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he knew that they will become angry by this plea or asking, that their lives can be in danger. So Madai, he picked up this pot, broken pot, and hit the head of Lord Nityananda. And the villagers immediately call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda knew that this will be the only way. If I put myself in danger, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is most dearest, and I'm most dearest to him, he will not let me be not protected. So immediately, he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come. And lo and behold, he told, he was ready to kill Jagai and Madai. As Prabhupada says, nowadays there are, in 500 years ago, there's only two Jagai and Madais. But in 20th century, 21st century, practically 99% are Jagai and Madais. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to cast his chakra, cut off the head of Madai. And Lord Nityananda says, no, please, don't do it, because that will defeat your purpose, why you came. And in this way, he made them promise not to repeat again any sinful activities that they have performed in the past, and promise to chant the holy names of the Lord. So Jagai and Madai were given initiation. Jagai became Jagannath, and Madai became Madhava. They got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original cause of the mercy. Without Lord Nityananda or Balaram or the spiritual master, then we will not be able to get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Yes, Balaram or Lord Nityananda teach us the mood of humble service. We should understand this. How we'll be able to properly serve the Supreme Lord through his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas. We cannot go back home back to Godhead without properly having service, good service attitude. We cannot go back to Godhead without Guru. I know someone who says, I don't need Guru. Radharani, she's my connection to Krishna. That person only prays to Radharani all the time. He will not even go to Gornitaya Krishna Balaram, always there, Radhisham's altar. Is that possible? Not possible. There's no written in the history that you go back home, back to Godhead, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda or Balaram, to get the mercy of Radha Krishna. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda or Balaram, we have to go through the disciplic succession, the six Goswamis, and follow the proper process of taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. And to worship the spiritual master, no one can be in between of how a disciple or a servant wants to express one's love towards the spiritual master. If the love that the disciple or the servant wants to express towards the spiritual master or to those who are advanced spiritually are genuine, without any self-motivation, because bhakti means no self-interest, then no one can go in between and says, no, you cannot do that. Just like Balaram serving Krishna, no one can go in between. So, it says that it is better to be a servant of a servant of the servant of the spiritual master. Of course, to serve the spiritual master, one must be very careful. It is more dangerous to serve the spiritual master than serving the Archavigraha form of the Supreme Lord directly. If you make or commit offenses while serving the Archavigraha form, you can chant one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita or chant more Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, if you commit offense towards the spiritual master while serving him, especially to consider him as an ordinary person, there is no way that you can chant any amount of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or any amount of mantras, chapters from the Bhagavad Gita or any sastras that can nullify that offense. One must be extra careful. So one time in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada was there, and Mahaprasad came out from Srila Prabhupada's room. Mahaprasad. And there is one devotee, a servant, who is sick. So he told to the servant, another servant who took the prasadam out, that please, I want this Mahaprasad of Srila Prabhupada. Because I am sick, I cannot eat anything else besides the Mahaprasad from Srila Prabhupada. And the servant who was carrying the prasad says, no, you cannot have this. This is for everybody. For somebody else. So they get an argument. They were fighting. Please, I want this Mahaprasad because I'm sick. So it came to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada says, what is the problem? Well, your Mahaprasad, there is one servant of yours, he wanted all the Mahaprasad because he said he was sick. But then the other servant says, no, he cannot have the Mahaprasad. This is for somebody else, it's for almost everybody. And Prabhupada says, you should give the Mahaprasad to that devotee who is sick. He can have all of my Mahaprasad. Prabhupada says, it's better to serve the servant of the servant of the servant of the spiritual master than to be servant of the spiritual master directly. So we learn this from Lord Balaram, who is an humble servant of the Supreme Lord. So in conclusion, they're preparing now. In conclusion, we have to learn how to surrender in the role of Lord Balaram also, the way he surrendered towards serving Lord Krishna as sadhakas, as devotees or trying to become devotees, following the process, rules and regulations. Somehow or other, someday, hopefully, we'll be able to surrender unto Lord Krishna. this Uda Pujari. I have Silas there. Give it to Mukunda Basudev. We have to serve properly, love and devotion, with love and devotion, of course. Bhakti means relationship. Without proper relationship with each other, we cannot attain bhakti. There's no such thing as bhakti if, oh, I hate him, I hate her, I don't like him, I don't like this. This doesn't exist in bhakti. Bhakti means you love everybody. You cannot love Krishna without loving his devotees. And bhakti means no motivation. In bhakti, you have to express yourself. You cannot hide yourself. If you hide yourself, that means you have self-interest. If you have self-interest, no progress in bhakti. Bhakti means you tell what you want. You express openly. That's why in bhakti there is no secret. It's an open book. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada doesn't have a private life. Right? Does Prabhupada has a private life? Everybody knows. Now, if we want to have a private life, then how can we progress in bhakti? It's not possible. It's not possible. Open book. So relationship should be there. We try to relate with each other. It's like we read, I believe, yesterday. There should be no fighting. In Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, the movement will only be destroyed from within if we fight with each other. It cannot be destroyed from outside. So today we pray to Lord Balaram to attain the lotus feet of Radha Shyama Sundar. Relish and taste the pastimes. One must approach first the lotus feet of Balaram. Our goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. And we need the mercy of Lord Balaram, especially today. If today we pray to Lord Balaram, Balaram, by his causeless mercy, causeless means there is no cause. He will give it. It says, if you have any problem spiritually, materially also, if you have, I'm sure you do, you approach Lord Balaram. Balaram will solve any kinds of problem, materially or spiritually. Materially, it may be fulfilled, it may be fulfilled. The end result will be the same. If the material desires are fulfilled, you'll get sick of it eventually someday that you don't have any other recourse except to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. If your material desires is not fulfilled, then again, you don't have any other resource except to take shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But to fulfill the material desires, it may take many, many, many lifetimes after you will get sick of the material desires being fulfilled. So which one is better? The shorter one, isn't it? Because you surrender, the result is the same. So if you have any problems, go approach Lord Balaram. And even before you pray to him, your problem will be solved. This is how powerful Lord Balaram is. Nitai and Balaram, they don't take any offenses. They are the friends of the most fallen, Patita Pavana. That doesn't mean we should take advantage of that. Commit offenses and pray to Lord Balaram and Lord Nityananda to please forgive my offenses. It's like Mayapur. Mayapur is Audariyadham. They don't take any offenses. When you sleep there, it's like you're offering obeisances. They don't take offenses. The holy land of Mayapur. But in Vrindavan, we have to be extra, extra, extra careful. Offenses can be magnified in Vrindavan, but bhakti also definitely is magnified. If you chant the holy name of the Lord properly, sincerely, without any offenses, then the progress in bhakti is much more if you chant somewhere else outside of Vrindavan. Even though there's no difference between Mayapur and Vrindavan, for others, Vrindavan is more sweet. For others, Mayapur is so more sweeter than Vrindavan. That's why you don't see some devotees, they prefer to be in Mayapur. Some devotees, they prefer to be in Vrindavan. Some devotees, they prepare with Krishna Balaram. Some devotees, they prefer to be with Panchatattva. There is no difference. It's the same. So, just as it is not possible to enter Sri Chaitanya's service without the mercy of Sri Nityananda, similarly, it is impossible to enter into Brajaras without the mercy of Sri Balaram Ji. Lord Balaram K. Itai Gaur Premanande. Have any question or two? Yes, sir. Srila Champrabhu, you have the mic? Before they start, we still have around 5 minutes.
Hey, Haribo. You mentioned about the two asuras,
Denuka and Pralamba.
Possessions,
yes.
Whereas you told us about the Palambashura lust desire. Can you please draw one item on lust desire? I mean, it has items. He came to kill Krishna Mahārāja, so
whatever
the lust.
It says that, yeah, this is the signifies the desire to enjoy materially. This is our propensity. Prabhupada says, the only way you can give up lusty desire is to become Krishna conscious. There's no solution. How to become Krishna conscious? Manmanabhavan madbhakto. Always think of Krishna. How do you think of Krishna? Chant Hare Krishna. Hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Associate with the devotees. Hear the instructions from Guru and Sadhu and Sastra. There is no way to curb the lusty desires except to become Krishna conscious. It's not possible. You can do anything you want, it will not be uprooted from the heart. And we have to endeavor for that. Because this is one of the demons that Balaram killed. The demons that Balaram killed, the devotee has to endeavor for that. Others, by the mercy of Krishna, it can be wiped out. But being possessive, I, me, and mine, this is mine, this is my property. No, you have to endeavor. You don't need this. All you need is Krishna. It's like us in the Krishna book introduction. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love means Krishna. All you need is Krishna. It's illusion to think that I need all of these material things for myself. No. You come here without nothing except karma. You get out of here with nothing except karma. You come here, you become devotee, no more karma, no more material birth. You go back home, back to Godhead. Okay? So we stop here. Balaram Jayanti Ki! Srila Prabhupada Ki! Sri Krishna Ki! Nitai Gaur Premananda!